بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. ما بعد، good morning. Ihtiram is unfortunately fell ill this morning, so I am subbing in for him inshallah today as well. Continuing on inshallah in the third ruku', in the third section of Surah Yasin, we last week completed the second ruku', which was about 2 pages, and we discussed the story of the three prophets, or the three disciples of Isa alayhi salam, and the interesting story of Habib Najjar, and the usul and some of the etiquettes of da'wah. Now this chapter and this ruku' focuses on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence in the Qur'an. And we know the Yasin having a very central theme in, of the Qur'an, the heart of the Qur'an. So as you go through each ruku', you're getting an idea of what is not only the theme of the Qur'an, but instead what is the theme of the whole, not what's only the theme of Surah Yasin, but what's rather the theme of the whole Qur'an. Whatever's mentioned here is pretty much an important theme of the whole Qur'an as well. So most definitely the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that probably you can't go through a page, or maximum page and a half, without having some reference to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the question arises, of course, is that why is it being repeated? You know, why is the Qur'an is a word in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In human speech, if someone keeps on repeating the same thing again and again and again, we say this is a very redundant speech. Qur'an being the word in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no hashr, there's nothing extra in here. Every single thing is spoken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very calculated, meticulous manner. So why is there so much repetition then? With regards to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is the central theme of not only the Qur'an, but for the najah and salvation of human beings and jinn. If they recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, they'll be saved. If they don't recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, they won't be saved. So, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ تَقَرَّرَ, when something is repeated again and again, it becomes extremely solidified, and a person begins to realize that this is very important point, very important point. So you repeat it. Rasulullah at times also would repeat himself a few times so that people would walk away with the message. So the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we have to speak about in our own homes as well, because it is the most oft-repeated theme of the Qur'an. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all over the place. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضِ, and a manifest sign to them, آيَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. This nakira of للتعظيم. What is the sifa that is hidden? What is the attribute that is hidden? Understood? Ayatun, a ayatun azimatun, a great sign. Lahum, for them, for people who live on this world, whether Muslims or non-Muslims. Al ardul mayta is the dead earth. Ahyaynaha, what have we done to the dead earth? Ahyaynaha, we've gave it life. Wa akhrajna minha habba, and we bring forth from them grain. فَمِنُوا يَأْكُلُونَ, then from it they eat. So this is, there are four major signs of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned in this ruku'ah. And one is the dead earth. This is number one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this ayah is perfect for us to understand in our current season. We are seeing that, mashallah, just, you know, today was a beautiful rain that much needed. And you can compare it to last week, can compare it 2 weeks ago. That dead earth, which didn't have a single blade of grass, green grass for sure, and looked like, you know, if someone were to judge it, who wasn't aware of the seasons, let's say someone came from a different part of the world, and came from Antarctica or something like that, came for 1 week and saw Chicago 2 weeks ago, say, oh, this is very similar to what we have, it's just that you might not have we have maybe many feet of snow, you don't have that, but it's the same dead place. And he goes away. And if you tell them, no, this thing's going to change. You're going to have this beautiful botanical garden. You're going to have beautiful tulips and roses and all sorts of beautiful vegetation and fruits and berries and then flowers on trees and shrubs and whatnot. Someone would say, how is this possible? Something which is so dead. You're describing something which is, something out of a dream. But we see, in a matter of a couple of weeks, the whole earth around us changes. That dead, barren land becomes beautiful. You know, where the lawnmowers are now riding and people are moving and cutting and all sorts of lawn work is taking place. It just seems like just yesterday you could hear, I heard something in the back when I was in the office, I heard some scraping sound. And I'm thinking, it just sounded exactly like a snowplow. I'm like, wait, maybe it is. Because we're still in winter mode. But then at the same time, we're hearing, you know, the engines of lawnmowers running as well. You know, so quickly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look at this dead earth. Maita, it was dead. No sign of growth. Ahyaynaha, we gave it life. And after giving it life, it's as if though living. What is it? What is it? What is a sign of living? Movement and things are happening. Change. So what is a change? It adorned itself with a new layer of green grass. The trees are now blooming. And most importantly, وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنَا حَبَّا, we took out grain from it. It's actually started providing fruits and vegetation and crops. فَمِنُوا يَكُلُونَ, from it they eat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, why not? Why are you so surprised, O disbelievers of Makkah and anyone else? Why do you find it hard to believe about Ba'ath Ba'd al-Mawt, life after death? What's so hard about life after death? If Allah can do this every year, and throughout, right now, it's spring here, while in the southern hemisphere, it's fall. Our August and September is fall, while in South Africa, Southern America, it's spring. Consistently, it's just not April that spring is coming. Constantly, spring and summer are coming somewhere around the world, in the different hemispheres. So this is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to bring life to death, to dead. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that most definitely I can bring you to life when you die away and wither away. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ. Moreover, we didn't just give it life. فِيهَا جَعَلْنَا, we made فِيهَا, ha referring to the earth, within the earth, جَنَّاتٍ مِن نَخِيلٍ, gardens. Okay, now specifically the gardens are of many things. But two fruits are mentioned, نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. Nakhil is date palms, and wa'anab, grapevines. وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ عُيُونَ, and we caused to burst forth from therein springs. So ulama mentioned two fruits have been mentioned here for a couple of reasons. One is that maybe the fact that dates and grapes, not only are they used for the purpose of tafakkuh. Fakiha means something which you eat for enjoyment. This is the Arabic word for fruits, fakiha. Comes from the word tafakkuh. Tafakkuh is something which is used in enjoyment. So fruits are actually a dessert, right? They're a dessert. They're eaten out of enjoyment. But dates and grapes, not only are they used for enjoyment and in dessert purposes, but they're also a staple diet in many places of the world. And a lot of things, for example, grapes, obviously, the Arabs used to make wine out of that even till today. It's used for raisins and whatnot. A lot of other things are made out of these fruits. So some places, these two fruits, especially dates, we see it till today, is a staple diet for people. But definitely for the Sahaba and for the people living in that time, this is what they used to eat. They used to live off of that. It has so many nutritions. So that's why Nakhil and A'nab have been specifically mentioned, because these two, dates and grapes, serve not only as fruits, but also as a staple diet in certain parts of the world. And notice what I use the word fakiha. Fawakih is the word that's used in the Qur'an, not in this ayah, but other places. It's something which is eaten for enjoyment. وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ عُيُونَ. Tafjir is to burst forth. Tafjir means to explode as well. So explosions is called tafjir. Explosive devices, مُفَجِّرَات. وَفَجَّرْنَا, as if you can say we exploded, يعني we caused it to burst. عُيُون, springs. Springs have been forced out of the ground. Ainun uyun. Ain is used for the eye. Ain is used for, in Arabic language, also for springs. And a jasus spy, what is he doing? He looks around. That's why a spy in Arabic is also called Ain. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this earth with all the beautiful gardens and whatnot? لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِ, so that they may eat of the fruit of them. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, though their own hands made none of it. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, will they not then give thanks? لَام, لِيَأْكُلُوا, why did Allah do all of this? So that you could eat. مِنْ ثَمَرِ, the fruit of them, meaning the fruit of this garden, the fruit of the spring, the fruit of the trees, the fruit of all that we just heard. Or, مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, the fruit of Allah. It's the same thing. The fruit of Allah that is coming into existence via these gardens and these vines and during the spring season. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I care about you
And that is why I bring this change of weather, so that you could enjoy and live. Your stocks over the winter that you had stored under the ground have all depleted, as they used to do in earlier times. They didn't have the freezer and fridge and whatnot. They'd stock up in the store up in the fall time, the berries and the jams and all sorts of other things. So now it's all come to an end. It's in a long winter, 3-4 months, everything's coming to an end. Now we need vegetation and we need fruits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, I realize there's only so much you can handle. And so I'm allowing you to eat. And so the spring has come. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ This ma over here, ulama have understood this, and many scholars have understood this as two very different ways. And they both have their own beautiful understandings. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ ma in the meaning of negation, ma nafiya. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ And what their hands did not create, and that's what the translation here mentions, though their hands have not made any of it. And second is what we call ma mawsula, in the meaning of alladhi, which their hands have made. Complete opposite. To eat from its fruits, and that which their hands have made, or that which their hands have not made. And they both have their beautiful meanings. So let's take the first one, the hands which have not made. This is a punch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of this I did so that you can eat from my fruits. And what have you done? What have you done? You think you're moving your movement of your tractors, the movement of your irrigatory methods, and all of the various seeds and maybe even genetically modified seeds, and Allah knows best, all that stuff you're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that this is just apparent things. Who is the one that makes the seeds germinate? How can you have this 20-foot tree, 15-foot tree with thousands of berries on it coming literally from one seed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ Do you look at that which you plow? أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَ Are you the ones who are making the crops grow? أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ Or are we the ones who are doing that? You have simply put the seed into the ground. Yes, you have put in some fertilizers and stuff like that. If we choose to send down the rain, great. If not, you will bring the rain. You don't create your own rain. You bring the rain that is stored, rainwater which is stored from under the ground, from a hose, from a spring, from a river that's flowing below the ground, from a creek. All of those irrigation methods, at the end of the day, where is it taking water from? From Allah's own vast treasures. You cannot create water. And if you didn't have that water, then that seed is not going to go anywhere. Where did that seed come? It came from another tree, from another pit of another fruit. You didn't create that seed out of nowhere. It came from somewhere. You put it into the ground. That soil also comes from Allah. That seed also comes from Allah. The water comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you sit back and watch. Let's see that you make the seed germinate, just like the drop of semen that goes into a lady's womb. Watch what happens. You can put, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will it to happen, nothing's going to happen. It will never come to fruition. A child will never be born. You can ask, do whatever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a system. Very similar, it mentions in Surah Waqi'ah, فَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions both things next to each other, about children and about crops. That a human being thinks that I am someone, I am planting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, no. If Allah chooses, the seed will not germinate, and that of course happens every year. Millions of seeds are planted and only a few thousand or a few hundred thousand germinate and come. Then those that even grow, a bird may come and eat, a deer may come and eat, and the plant may get pushed over by this tornadoes, high winds, flooding, all sorts of possible natural disasters can happen, and you're not going to reach fruition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating all of that. Okay, do not think that this is your fruits. Aapki kamaini. This is my effort. I mean, my produce. You've done the effort. Hence, there's a dua we've been taught to read at the end of our meal. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha at'am min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Whoever reads this dua after the end of his meal, Allah will not question him regarding that meal. Allah will not question him. What is that? Alhamdulillah alladhi. All praise belongs to Allah. At'amani hadha at'ama, who has fed me this food. Min ghayri hawlin minni, without any effort from my part, wala quwwa, and without any strength, and without any move from my part. The man, he's been working from 8 to 5 in the hot summer, in the cold winter. He brought food, he brought money at home. The wife has been working 3 hours, 4 hours to prepare the meal. She went to the store, she cut all the fruits and the vegetables and the meat and sat there steering. And she had so much chores to do, and she made so much effort and cooked the food, and now the husband and wife sit down to eat. And after, we enjoy the meal. Husband is saying, I've been working for, you know, 50 hours this week. Wife has been saying, I've been handling the kids and the cooking and all of this stuff. But the dua at the end, Ya Allah, all praise belongs to you. Fed us this food. Or hamara isme kuch hath nahi hai. We haven't done anything. The risk all comes from you. When a person says this from the bottom of his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying, this person recognizes his limitations. He recognizes my power and strength, and he recognizes his limitations. Tayyib, I'm not going to ask him anything about this food. Kahan se aya, kahan se gaya? He's not going to be questioned about what have you done after this. This doesn't mean you're allowed to eat haram. This means the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say, I fed you this, what did you do? How much nafil salah? How much nafil sadaqah? How much did you do after eating such an enjoyable meal? We will not be, inshallah, questioned about that. Number two, وَمَا عَمِلَتُمْ اِذِيهِمْ in the sense that whatever their hands did make. So what does that mean? That all the products that you make out of fruits, juices, jams, chutneys, and all sorts of other things that you can make out of fruits. At the end, it all came because Allah brought spring and Allah brought forth the fruits, and so that you can enjoy that. Enjoy the unprocessed fruit and then the processed fruit that you all do. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ Will they not then give thanks? So both meanings fit properly. Subhan, obviously some people are not giving thanks to Allah. That's why then Allah Himself says this. Subhan, highly exalted. Because some people do not exalt Allah, and some people they commit shirk. So Allah Himself says, Subhan الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجِ Highly exalted is the one who has created all the pairs. كُلَّهَا All. كُلَّهَا means all. Azwaj, pairs. Azwaj is the plural of zawj. كُلَّهَا Mimma, from that which, min, ma, it's actually min and ma, from that which, tumbitul ard, the earth grows. Ard, we know by now, earth, ard means earth. Nabat, nabatat. Nabatat is plants, right? So this is the verb of that plants. Ambata yumbitu imbat is to grow. Because a plant grows, so that's what's called nabat. And imbat is the verb for growing. So, highly exalted is the one who created all the pairs, kullaha, mimma tumbitul ard, from that which the earth grows. Wa min anfusihim, and who has created of themselves pairs. Wa mimma la ya'lamun, and who has created pairs of all that which they do not know in his creation. So zawjun azwaj is, like we said, pairs. And it means male and female, as well as anything else that comes in pairs. For example, hot and cold, night and day, hard and soft. Anything that comes in pairs is also called zawj. So zawj is the one part of the pair, a couple. One of them is called zawj. So zawj in Arabic is used for both husband and wife. Although the one word called zawjah, zawjatun with the ta at the end, is only used for female, but a zawj without the ta can be used for both. For male and female. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِي أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا From Allah, you've heard this ayah many times in our weddings and walimas. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs is that He's created for you from amongst your own race and from amongst your own creation, your own human beings, أَزْوَاجًا, spouses. This doesn't mean wives, it means spouses. Okay, so for the men, it's the woman, and for the women, it's the men. Azwaja. This is the same word here, azwaj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He has created pairs and couples, and this is a sign. Mimma tumbitul ard, from the, so now we see like the date palm tree, the dates, papayas, and other many other fruits and vegetables, they have the male and the female, right? The cross-pollination and all that we study. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about that in the Quran, that many things that grow out of the earth have pairs. وَمِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ And obviously you all as males, as human beings, also have pairs. And وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ From that, all there are many things in this world that you have not figured out yet that also have pairs, male and female. That's one meaning. Second meaning, general. Azwaj does not just mean male and female. Like we said, it means anything that comes with a counterpart. So then now that opens the doors for everything. So the Quran is already telling us that there is room for scientific, you know, knowledge and improvement and advancement. The Quran keeps on mentioning that there are a lot of things that you are not aware of. Time will tell. It may take a couple of thousand years, but soon you'll start slowly understanding the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ Now this is the second sign. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ. Another manifest, آيَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. Another manifest sign for them, اللَّيْلِ, of Allah's creation, is the night. نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ. We strip from it the daylight. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. فَإِذَا, all of a sudden, إِذَا مُفَاجَأَ. Then behold, all of a sudden, they are in utter darkness. ظُلْمَ, darkness. مُظْلِمُونَ, they are in utter darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this tashbih here, comparison, of the coming of the day and the coming of the night. In one place, let's first discuss this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is that the night is a great sign. How does this night come about? Allah says He strips away the daylight. Salkh is used, the Arabic word, for stripping away of the skin off of an animal. When you skin an animal, it's called salkh. So when you skin away an animal, what happens? The reality, the real flesh and bones of the animal show up. Skin is apparent, and the real thing is what's below the skin. Correct? So the Quran is saying that the daylight is stripped away, and then that real thing comes about. And what's the real thing? The night. So al-asl al-dhulma. The real thing in the world, in the cosmos, is what? Is darkness. And that is so true. Darkness is something which is daimi, which is eternal. And nur and light is something which happens to come at certain times of the day, in certain portions of the world, in certain portions of the universe. But the actual asl thing in the cosmos is darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stripped. Now these next few ayats, including this, there is so much written in the books of tafsir, so much. I'm talking about pages and pages and pages and pages, because it has a lot to do with astronomy. And the ulama of tafsir, the earlier scholars, even till today, you know, anyone who becomes a real mufassir and writes, falakiyat and astronomy was basically an Islamic science, because the Quran speaks so much about the falak. The Quran speaks so much about, you know, the cosmos. And the system of salah and fasting has to do a lot with, of course, the sun and the moon and whatnot. So astronomy was something, and the direction of the Qibla. All of these things was something very central to early Muslims, scholars. So they have really wrote a lot on this. And this is not the point of this little halaqah of ours. We are not trying to prove the Quran through science, as many have done so. And we need to do all of those things. The Quran, mashallah, has been revealed for the average person who does not need to have a PhD or a bachelor's in astronomy to understand. It is very basic. This is the beauty of the Quran. For a PhD, he'll take something out, you know, a scholar, a mufti. He will derive something amazing from there. He'll say, Subhanallah. And for an average person, he will look at this and say, oh, the night coming of the day and night. Simple as that. That this is the sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran speaks to each person at his level.
Base level or the depth that I have reached the depth now. There's no way you can reach the depth of the Quran. The deeper you dig, the deeper you will go. That's why the likes of Imam Shafi'i would say that every single time I recite the Quran, there's something new, mas'ala, new lesson I derive. Every single time. He opened the Quran, already read that page 1,000 times. But now he's reading, something else pops up. So that is the depth of the Quran, most definitely. For some, these ayats, they can go on and on. But right now, inshallah ta'ala, we are simply trying to get the very obvious meanings of these ayat. So one thing we understand here is the asl, the original thing, is darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another place in the Quran, He says, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. Allah wraps up the earth on the day and the day on the night. تَكْوِيرُ الْعَمَامَ. Like how you wrap an amama is called takweer. Similarly, the day and night are wrapped around each other. You strip away one, and then you strip away the, like you can say, like onion. You take away one onion and one round of the onions, and then you have another layer. And you take, this is how it happens. The whole day, whole night, yani I'm talking about a whole year, every single day one thin layer is stripped away. And a time will come when nothing is left. It's all gone. And like the bulb of an onion, how we take away layer after layer. So this is how the night and day has been mentioned. فَإِذَا مُظْلِمُونَ. All of a sudden, they're in utter darkness. This is very true in the night. You see the night, the sun is setting. See, mashallah, it's still coming time for Maghrib. And it seems like you close your eyes and open up, and now you're in utter darkness. Sometimes it just comes in so quickly, the night. All of a sudden, it becomes very, very dark. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that this coming of the day and night is also the sign that
you know, if we don't go open up, if we don't go open up the office one day, if we forget to wake up early, take the kids to school, you know, these things happen in our life. What happens? Big problems. We go late to class, go late to work, all these problems. Imagine, Yanni, what happens in the sun, a little bit delay. The train, what doesn't get delayed here? From plane to train, everything gets delayed. But have we ever seen a delay in the sun, in the rising of the sun? There's one thing that has been written, that no, today, the sun has risen 2 minutes late. Never. Every single thing, the coming of the night also. Locking the door, opening the door, locking up office, calculating, you know, the money at the end of the day. All of these things are responsibilities. If one day you mess it up, you leave it, it causes a big chaos. But since the creation of the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon are in their orbits, and the coming of the day and the night are in the system, no delay. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا. Moreover, along with this, the shams, the sun runs to a destiny appointed for it. This is another sign. This is another sign. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا. The sun runs. جِرْيَان. جَرْيُ is to run. Right? جَرَى يَجْرِي is to run. So the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is running لِمُسْتَقَرِّ لَهَا, to a destiny appointed for it. مُسْتَقَر is either a place or a time for rest. Like if a person is going somewhere and he wants to take a rest area, he wants to rest somewhere, that will be called a مُسْتَقَر. Whether he immediately moves onwards, like for a few minutes he stops and moves onward, or that is his actual abode, مُسْتَقَر. So it's not only a resting place, but it's also a resting time. Again, the ulama have written a lot regarding this ayah. The sun runs to a destiny appointed for it. One very easy meaning of this is the sun is in its orbit till its appointed time, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no more. You can no longer rise from the east, go back, rise from the west, and then the day of judgment will be very near, and then that's it. The sun will be destroyed and everything in this world will be destroyed. So that's what it means. The sun is burning. I mean, the scientists have talked about how much fuel is on the sun, how much gas there is on the sun to burn. And after that, it's going to run out. That's there. I mean, they know that. It's not going to run till eternity. There's a limited, finite amount to be burnt of gas. And after that, when that finishes, it's going to go away. Like the stars that die out, the sun will die out as well. They also accept that. So that's very easy understanding of that. One hadith that is needs to be mentioned here is that the Prophet ﷺ was one day with a Sahabi, if I'm not mistaken, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and the sun was about to set. And mafhum of the hadith, near meaning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to the Sahabi that, do you know where the sun goes? He said, I don't know. He said, the sun, before it rises every single day, and after it sets, it goes and it prostrates under the throne of Allah. It makes sujood under the throne of Allah. And it asks permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rise. And it does this every night. And the night or the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it permission and will say, go back, that is when this end of the sun and end of the world will be near. This is the hadith. So the ulama have wrote here extensively, how is this possible? Where is the arsh? This, that. And, you know, we don't see its sun stopping. Right? As soon as it sets here, it's rising somewhere else. So when is it taking its rest stop and taking permission? The simple answer, very simple answer. You know, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, do you not see that? Do you not see? Obviously we don't. Right? That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't see. That to Allah prostrates everything in the heavens and the earth. So this bottle, according to Allah, is prostrating. How am I? I don't see that. Neither do you. The tree is prostrating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusabbihu, do you not see that every single thing in the heavens and the earth is glorifying Allah? Do we hear the dust glorifying Allah? We don't. Allah says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. You cannot make ta'wil of this ayah. Try to say, no, this is what it means. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing. إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِي. Except that it glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bas. That's there. We don't understand. I mean, shuurni. We can't understand how it's glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is, to a certain level, to a certain degree. Some ulama have explained that when a tree does what it's meant to do, that is its ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran as well. That we have ordained for the mafhum, near meaning of the ayah, it slips me now which ayah, the ayah, that we have ordained, كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Everything, Allah already knows صلاته. It's ibadah, وتسبيحة, and it's glorification. Look at how many ayat we quoted for you. Do you not see that everything in the heavens and the earth prostrates to Allah? Do you not see that everything in the earth, heavens and the earth glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There is nothing except that it glorifies Allah. Allah already knows everything's ibadah and everything's glorification. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحًا. So, when a honeybee gives us honey, when a tree bears fruit, when a cow gives us milk, that's its ibadah. It's doing what it's been told. Have we ever seen a cow, you know, protesting, say, yeah, we're not going to give milk? Honey says, protesting, not going to give honey. Every single thing in the heavens and the earth is doing ibadah. It's just this human being who says, no, I don't want to pray. I don't want to give zakah. I don't want to fast. But everything in the heavens and the earth, subhanAllah, the sun is making ibadah. The sun is making sujood. How is it making sujood? By rising at its appointed time and setting at its appointed time. And not saying, today I'm going to cover myself up. Today I'm going to unveil myself for a few more extra hours. Today I want to take a day off. No day off for the sun. Every single day it is working. Some, you know, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it. So this is simply the sajda. As for something, say, where does the sun go? You know, I see as soon as it set here, it rises somewhere else. How did it go under the arsh? The arsh of Allah is the greatest thing, the greatest creation. Arsh is on top, all encompassing. So wherever you are, you're under the arsh. Wherever you are under the arsh, the sun doesn't need to move out of its orbit to go park somewhere and make some sujood. It is constantly under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, it is constantly making sujood. Because it's always setting and rising somewhere. Correct? It's constantly setting and rising. So it's constantly taking permission. Do I have permission of Allah? Do I have permission of Allah? And making sujood in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a system that we are unaware of, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is happening. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. This is the decree of the overpowering one, all-knowing. Al-Aziz. Allah is over. You think the sun is great? Don't worship the sun. There is someone who is more powerful than the sun. That is Al-Aziz, Ghalib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is overpowering. He overpowers the sun as well, that there will be a time when the sun also will be told, go back and wither away, and now your time of the time has come of your end. So how can we worship the sun when the sun is makhluq? We have to worship the Khaliq, Al-Alim, who knows when that appointed time for the destruction of the sun is coming. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ. And this is the fourth sign. And for the moon, قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلُ. We have measured out heavenly mansion until again it returns. حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Like the image of an old bent palm branch. Manazil, this is one translation here, but majority of places the translation has been given of manazil as a place of stopping. Manzil is a place where you stop. Like in the Quran we have manzil as well, right? Seven manzil, because that's where you stop. Hum apne manzil pe pahunch gaye. What does manzil mean? The place of nuzul. Nuzul means to get off and stop. Nazala an dabbati, to get off your camel is called nuzul. Utarna, to get off. Manzil is a place of getting off. See how everything makes sense now? So manzil of the Quran is a place where you get, where you stop reading. And destination is called manzil, that's why. So manazila for the moon here refers to the place where the orbit, in the orbit of the moon, the monthly orbit. The stars that it passes through. And the Arabs gave it 28 names. All 28 nights, they would have a certain name for it. The phases that it goes through. قَدَّرْنَا مَنَازِلُ. We have measured out for it phases and places where it stops on a daily basis. So, حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. عَادَ is to return. كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. عُرْجُون is a date palm tree. A branch of a date palm tree. عُرْجُون. Qadim, which has become dried out. Now what happens when it becomes dry? It becomes a little bit yellow. It becomes very thin. And becomes bent like a crescent or like a bow. So this is the tashbih. This is a similitude in three things. Tashbih in three things. One is sufra. It's yellowness. One is the fact that it's like a qaws. It's like a bow. It's like a crescent. And number three, one is it's become very thin. So the first moon, the crescent. Since Arabs are used to seeing an old date palm tree branch, that's why Allah gives an example of that. That when if you look, the cycle ends. When does the cycle end? When the new moon begins. How does the new moon look like, the crescent? It looks like this tiny, thin, dried out date palm tree branch. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا. It is not possible for the sun to overtake the moon. Shams means the sun. يَنْبَغِي, it's not befitting. It's not possible. لَهَا, for the sun. What is not possible for the sun? أَنْ تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ. To catch up. إِدْرَاك is to catch up. To catch up or to overtake the moon. وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. أي وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِلَّيْلِ. It's not befitting for the night. سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. To outstrip the daylight. To outdo. Sabqat kar jana. You know sabqat? What does sabqat mean? To beat. To pass. سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. It doesn't befit the night to overtake the day. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. And for each within a course is swimming through the spheres as preordained. Shams has been brought before Yambaghi. Shams is the dui of Yambaghi or the fa'il of Yambaghi. Yet it is brought before the verb. Why is that? To emphasize that it's not possible. Ta'kid. To say it's not possible. What's not possible? That the sun and the moon crash and clash and come into each other's orbits. It may seem that the sun is beating the moon, but it's not going to happen. Each one is going through in its own specific orbit. As well as the night, it doesn't happen that the night is racing against the day. The today, oh bhai, the night showed up early. So the sun has to close up, the day has to close up its business at 5 o'clock instead of at 7:40. Because the night decided that it wants to have a little bit extra time today. Doesn't happen. And this is a very important ayah that many ulama and scientists have talked about a lot. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. Everything is flowing in its orbit. Falak does not mean sky. It rather means its orbit. And we see that the sun and the moon are not studded in the sky. They have their own orbits. Yasbahun is a verb form that is used for aqil, you know, things that are alive. Things that are alive, like males, females, you say ya'kuluna, they're all eating. Yasbahuna actually means they are all swimming. Although kawakib, stars, sun and moon are not human beings. They don't have any aql in that sense, of course. Why has this verb form been used instead of yasbahu? So the ulama have explained, because swimming is the verb that it's an action that only humans and animals who have some intelligence do. Stars and sun and moon, this verb is not used for them. But the Quran, since it's using a verb that is usually only done by knowledgeable, intelligent beings, and Allah is using that verb for the sun and the moon, hence that verb form has also been used that is specific to Ahlul Aql, the people of intelligence or the beings of intelligence. Okay? So instead of yasbahu, it's come yasbahun. Because sibaha, which means swimming, is done by dolphins, done by fish, done by humans, not by non-living objects. Then why is sabaha been mentioned here? Because that's what it looks like. And it's subhanAllah, Allah says kullun, everything. He didn't even say kullum minhum, everything from amongst them, i.e. sun, moon, and stars. Everything. So you've got to the electron level, and a level below that as well, all are rotating on its orbit. Isn't that amazing? Kullun, all. Har cheez, everything is swimming around. So he left it like that. He didn't say what it just mentioned is swimming around. Everything. So believe it or not, there's from the blood in our body to the atomic level, there's movement taking place. And that's why the ulama say, tawaf is something very natural. Because everything in this world is rotating on its axis. So when you make tawaf around the Kaaba, it's very natural. It's the most natural thing to do. It's not against aql, not against intelligence to go around the cube. So that's why we see here that long before the scientists and the philosophers came to this conclusion that the sun is rotating on its own orbit and the earth on its own orbit and the moon on its own orbit, the Quran already said that. Right? So this is one of the beautiful things of, you know, although I don't like too much to mention that, but here it is, it's pretty obvious that the Quran mentioned this long before the people of science figured that out. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Yet a further sign to them. So we did the earth. What else we did? The night. The sun. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضِ. Shams, layl. Then we talked about the fact that the sun and the moon are on their specific orbits. That's another sign. And now we come to the fifth one. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ. Yet a further sign to them of Allah's mercy. So there are signs of different things. The previous sign, the first sign of earth getting back to life, what was that? That was a sign of ba'ath ba'ath al-maut, resurrection after death. Here we're talking about the sign of Allah's mercy. So everything in the earth is not pointing to only one thing. It's pointing to different things. The fact that Allah is merciful, the fact that Allah can also punish, the fact that Allah can raise us after we die. Different things that the creation is pointing towards. So here we're talking about the sign of Allah's mercy. Yet a further sign to them of Allah's mercy, حَمَلْنَا is that we carried their forebears, ذُرِيَّةً فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ in a heavenly laden ark. In a heavenly laden. Look, at the word before was falak. That was a circle. This we're doing fulk, two different words. Falakiyat. Isn't that the word we are aware of? Falakiyat, astronomy. Right? So that's where the word comes, fuluk. So here, the previous word. This is where the word falakiyat comes from. Now this word fulk means ship or ark. Mashhoon, laden, over, you know, filled with people and animals. Allah says, a sign for them of my mercy is that when the rains came down pouring, I gave the instruction to Nuh long before the rain came to build a huge ark. And then I allowed dhurriyatahum, their forefathers, to board the ship. Now dhurriya is a word which we commonly use for children. However, it is not specific to children. It includes elders and children, both. And it is used for single and plural, all. Dhurriya. So that may be some new knowledge, for new information for our students as well. Because majority of the time with dhurriya we use it, we think it's only used for children. So here, obviously the people of Makkah are where and the people of Nuh are where, long ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word dhurriyatahum. He doesn't mean their children. Their children is going to come afterwards. So this, in this sense, it means your forefathers, we allowed them to be saved. And it could also mean a very general ayah. That you and your children, even till today, O Meccans, are able to travel the seas in fully laden boats. Why did he mention fully laden? Overboard. Packed. Overpacked. Because you think it might be easy for an empty boat to sail. But when you load it up with tons of goods and people, it's shocking. You say, wow, how come this thing is not drowning and sinking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, there's the sign of my mercy, that I allow the waves to beautifully carry this massive multi-ton, you know, boat. What about children? Why do Allah mention children now? The first tafsir was elders, your forefathers during the time of Nuh. The second tafsir is children during current times. Because we all love our children. And a person is always worried when traveling, he's like, okay, by bachonka intizam, where are we going to, you know, we worry about that, where the children are going to sit and the luggage and comes afterwards. And we come afterwards. First is let the kids board. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I allow you, your kids, to peacefully ride above the seas. And they do not drown. وَخَلَقْنَا لَهُم مِّن مِّثْلِهِ Moreover, not only do we allow you to go over, to ride the seas with boats, وَخَلَقْنَا and we have created the like of it for them, مَا يَرْكَبُونَ upon which they embark and sail. This is a beautiful ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it's not just boats and ships that you see my mercy. There is many other things that are going to come yet that I have created for you, which you are not using right now, or I'm going to create. So the Arabs, they thought safinatul bar. The safina, what's safina? The boat, right? The ship. The ship of earth. The ship, the land ship, or the ship of dry land. What's that? The camel. The camel was their ship of the desert that they used to load up and they travel. So that's what they understood this. But the Quran just is saying, it didn't make it specific. Ma yarkabun, whatever they board and they embark. And of course, airplanes, helicopters, and all the other things that today, look at the beautiful example here, that just like the boats are sailing through peacefully over the ships, over the water, and they don't drown. Similarly, every time we board the airplane, 36,000 feet, 40,000 feet above sea level, and we're just floating away. Just like the sea is holding up this ship and it doesn't drown. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ Allah says in Surah Mulk openly, do they not look at the bird? Do they not look at the bird that flows above them in the sky, in space above them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَقْبِضْنَ They open up their wings and they close their wings. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ. Only Allah is holding them up. When they close their wings, they should fall down. Or even when they open their wings, why? Where did you come up with this, you know, thing that, no, if you open your wings, you must fly? Unless you try it. Jump off and keep your hands open. It's not going to work. Right? Although many have tried this type of things, and as little kids, I'm sure all of us have tried. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ. Allah says only Allah is keeping the birds afloat. And this, of course, applies to all flying objects. The airplanes as well. Allah is keeping it. If one strong wind comes, it's all gone. And we still look, it's been 50, 60 days, we still don't know what happened to that plane. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, when Allah power comes, you can't stop it. Just, you know, this is airplane accidents always taking place. وَإِن نَشَأْ, Allah says, if we so will, if we so will, نُغْرِقْهُمْ, we could have drowned them all. فَلَا صَرِيخَ لَهُمْ, and there is none to cry out, وَلَا هُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, nor are they ever to be rescued. Allahu Akbar. This is very true to what's going on right now, in that instance. That they're probably drowned, and no one has heard them screaming. They're all going down. Who is there 7 miles below the sea to hear your scream? Allah says, every boat, and every aeroplane, and everything that's flowing is under my mercy. Easily I could have brought any of them down, and can continue to bring them down. If I let them go, it's out of my mercy. فَلَا صَرِيخَ, صَرِيخَ is to scream out. وَلَهُمْ يُنْقَذُونَ, they will not be rescued. But Allah out of mercy lets you go. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, except by an act of mercy from us. Why do we allow ships to sail? And why do we allow planes to fly? إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, except by an act of mercy. أي إِلَّا كَرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا بَنْصُوب بِنَزْعِ الْخَافِضِ إِلَّا لِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا كَرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا, only out of a source of mercy. Or this is مَفْعُول لَهُ, this is مَفْعُول لَهُ. The only reason we are allowing them to flow, it's out of a source of mercy. وَمَتَاعًا إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, and as a grant of enjoyment of life for a preordained time. مَتَاعًا كَمَانِ, something to enjoy. إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, for an appointed time. Meaning this life that if you got saved, you know, when I'm sure we boarded the plane sometimes and it's caught up in a stormy weather, everyone's reading the kalima. So, oh, we're going. At least we are. We don't know about the other people. And then, bajge, we come back like, subhanAllah, that was a close call. How many times while driving every day, there's chances of us getting a car accident. Allah saves us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every time you get saved, don't think it's over. This one day you're not going to get saved. The only reason bajge, you got saved, was not by coincidence. Oh, by it was such a close call. No, it wasn't. Allah never intended for you to die. That's why. And when the time will come for my death, even it won't be a close call. He'll come from out of nowhere and hit us. He will come out of nowhere from hit us if that's how we have to die. Plane will be functioning properly. All of a sudden, something out of ordinary that never happened will happen if we have to die. And when we don't have to die, then the car will come hit us also so hard, but the person will come out unscratched because it was not meant for him to die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the reason I'm saving you is number one, out of mercy, and number two, it's not your time yet. And when your time is up, then that will happen. Death will come. And now the portion of the signs of Allah has completed. The last few ayats of this ruku' now talks about how these non-Muslims, after hearing all of the signs and looking and pondering about these signs, which you don't need to be a Muslim to understand, it's very obvious, they still don't believe. They still don't understand. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, still, قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّقُوا, they turn away. The jaza of the shart is مُقَدَّر. أَعْرَضُوا. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَخَلْفَكُمْ يُعْرَضُونَ. Okay? When it's said to them, fear what lies ahead of you, ma bayna adikum, and wa ma khalfakum, what has gone before you, what happens? They turn away. That has not been mentioned. The next ayah points to that. The next ayah points to the answer of the kuffar. This ayah doesn't mention what they answer. Allah simply says, when they are told to fear what's ahead of you and what's behind you, i.e., they turn away. And that's why the Mufassir here, I mean the translator, he put this thing in brackets. They turn away, because that's not mentioned in the Qur'an. The next ayah, it points towards that. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Why are we telling them to fear Allah? So that you may be shown mercy. So that Allah may have mercy upon you, so that you may be shown mercy. مَجْهُول. اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ. What's ahead of them? Day of judgment is coming. وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ. What has gone before you? All the sins that you've done in the past. All that you have done in the past, think about that and make tawbah. Aren't you afraid of the past that you have led? And aren't you afraid of how Allah will judge you in the future? This is what they've been told. Unfortunately, Allah says, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ وَمَا Yet not a single sign, ayah min ayat, a sign from the great signs of Allah. Not a single sign of Allah's oneness comes to them from any of the revealed and natural signs of the Lord. Beautiful thing he wrote here. Revealed. Because ayah means two things. Ayah means a sign, what you see around us. And ayah also means ayah of the Quran. So whenever an ayah of the Quran, i.e. revealed Quran, revealed ayah, or natural signs around us, anytime this comes to them, إِلَّا أَكْسَبْتْ كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ They turn away from it in disbelief. إِعْرَاز كَرْنَا To turn away. عَارِضَ is your cheek. إِعْرَاز is to literally give the cheek. To give the cheek. What do you mean? This is why I'm not interested. Okay? عَارِضَ is a cheek. To give the cheek meaning I'm not interested. To turn away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever a revealed sign comes to them or a natural sign comes to them, they unfortunately in disbelief turn away from it. The first ayah they were told to, fear Allah. Next now, who is telling them? The Muslims are saying, fear Allah. Another thing the Muslims tell them, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ Moreover, when it's said to them, spend in charity out of that which Allah has provided you. Unfortunately, this ayah applies to Muslims as well, many times. Allah, moreover, when it's said to the disbelievers, spend in charity from that which Allah has provided for you. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Those who disbelieve say, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Those who disbelieve. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا They say to the believers. A shall. نُطْعِمُ from ta'am. Ta'am means food. نُطْعِمُ to feed. Shall we feed man who? Lo if yasha wish Allah. Is Allah. Should we feed the one who Allah, if he wishes, أَطْعَمَهُ He could have fed him himself. Shall we feed one whom had Allah willed, he could have fed himself. Why should we feed? إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ You have fallen into nothing but clear error. So the disbelievers said, look at how they misunderstand purposefully everything. The Muslims are saying, okay, but you don't wanna believe, at least give for the sake of Allah to those who are poor, those who are in need. So the answer is that, well, there's no reason for us to give. Because this man next door to me who was hungry, Allah wanted him to remain hungry. Allah would have given him food. He doesn't have a job right now. Allah made him lose his job. So why should I go give? This goes against the order of Allah. Why should I stand up and rebel against Allah that I'm giving to someone who Allah wants to keep hungry? You see this logic? In antum, so these non-believers are telling the believers that you have fallen into nothing but clear error. Dalal and mubeen, we did this last week as well. Dalal, gumrahi, right? Error. And mubeen means clear. Remember that? Bayan is something which clears up something. Clarifies something. Dalal and mubeen, open error. So this, in antum illa fi dalal mubeen, two tafsirs of it. Either this is the statement of the disbelievers to the believers, that you don't understand Allah. Why are you telling us to feed someone who Allah wants to keep hungry? Number two tafsir is that this is the statement of the believers to the disbelievers. Astaghfirullah, what type of logic is this? You guys are really, you know, we can't speak to you. You're ulti, you know, ulti aqal. You're really using something which makes no sense to say, how can we feed someone who Allah doesn't want to feed? So this answer could be of either two. I would like to share a hadith, near meaning of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a near meaning of hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain individuals. اختصهم الله. Allah has selected them for the benefit of mankind. Allah has given them what He has not given others. And the purpose Allah has given them is so that they can come to the help and of the needy. So long as they continue to help the needy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to supply them. They are basically the distributors of Allah. And as long when they stop distributing, as Allah has wanted them to distribute, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops the flow of wealth and blessings to them. And then He chooses a new distributor. I mean, this is really the mafhum of the hadith. فَحَوَّلَوْا Allah turns away the goods from them and gives it to another. You have a manufacturer who says, you know what, I want you to distribute my goods in Midwest. If you start acting funny and say, no, I don't want to do this, that, he says, okay, brother, that's it. From this month, that's the end of that. I'm going to find another distributor. There's many people waiting here to distribute for me. And you're not even doing a favor, you're making a cut, you're making 10% of everything. So same thing. The one who gives for the sake of Allah, some people say, but why does everyone come to me? But you are lucky. If people come to you, you are a preferred distributor of Allah. You're a preferred distributor of Allah. That's why people keep on coming to you. You know, this is not something that bojh mat samjho. Don't think this is a thing. Number two, you know, you're not doing a favor to anyone. Just like the one who is, you think distribution is not a big business? If you can become a distributor, exclusive distributor of Coke, oh, how much money are you going to make? So when you become the distributor of Allah, it's not pocket for free. You are making a huge cut on everything. On every single dollar you're giving, you're getting massive amounts of reward in the dunya and akhirah. So this is nothing for us to take and regard as a burden. This is all about in the mind. We have to understand it like that. Okay, when we are giving for the sake of Allah, we are not doing a favor to anyone other than our own selves. Hamara business chal raha hai. We're making money on every dollar we give. We're getting huge amounts of hasanat. Balki, we should think like this. We should think like this. That the retailer, if the retailer says, I'll give you an example. This is a $1 water bottle. You know, you sell it for a dollar. I sell it to the distributor for 50 cents. This is very logical, right? The distributor sells it to the retailer and the retailer moves it on, you know, for a dollar. So the distributor is making 25 cents. He sells it to the retailer for 25 with profit or 30 cents profit, 40 cents profit. And he sells it to the retailer for 90 cents. He made 40 cents on it and the retailer sold it with a 10 cents profit. Now I, as Nestle, can come in and say, you know what? I'm going to cut you out. I'm just going to open one huge Nestle water retail store and I'm going to sell it for a dollar. Or I'm going to sell it for 90 cents. I'm going to sell it for 80 cents. Can anyone compete against me? When I'm going to be selling it 20 cents below the market and I'm still making huge amounts of profit for myself because I got the distributor out. Correct? If you were to do that, no distributor will remain in business. And this is just part of the business world rules and ethics that you don't do stuff like that. A distributor, a manufacturer cannot come open up his own store, retail store, if he's got distributors there. Correct? You cannot have two distributors distributing in the same area. So what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know what, if you're talking a lot, you're making a lot of, you know, a lot of things you're saying, I'll get you out of the way. And I myself will give to the person. Kya kar loge? What are you going to do? Can we make a profit? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this person a job, and now he starts earning the yateem family that we're taking care of somewhere back at home, sending $100 a month, taking care of them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a pot of gold tomorrow, and they say, by jazakallah khair, we have to give zakat ourselves, we don't need your money. What are you going to do? Imagine a time comes, as the hadith mentioned, there is a time will come. Many ulama have explained that time has already came long ago during the time of Umar and Abdul Aziz, that a person will come with money for his zakat, yet he will not find a single person willing to accept his money because everyone will have had enough money. Then how are we going to do it at that time? Right, subhanAllah, isn't this amazing? So I'm trying to say is that regard ourselves as distributors. If we are a distributor, we are lucky to have this position. If Allah were to take this away from us, then we will be lost. So remember that hadith. If people are coming to us, maybe we are chosen by Allah. And if we do not continue to give, Allah will move those blessings away and give it to someone else. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدُ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Furthermore, they say in contempt, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدُ When will this promise of divine judgment be fulfilled? If indeed you believers are truthful. عَذَاب لَيَاو Bring on the punishment. You keep on talking about azab. You keep on talking about day of judgment. We want to see this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا They await nothing but for a single deadly blast to seize them. Ek cheek hogi. Israfil will blow in the trumpet once. And that's it. One deadly blast, تَأْخُذَهُمْ will suddenly will grasp them, وَهُمْ يَخَصِّمُونَ while they are still arguing and contending with each other. Aapas mein jhagda karte rahenge. They're just, bhai, I'm not going to give you a dollar for this. I'm going to give you 90 cents. They're going to be, there's a hadith mentions, the cloth seller will have opened up his cloth. You know how we buy cloth? And they open up the ream of cloth. And you say, no, I want this, I don't want this. The Prophet ﷺ gave this description. A cloth seller will have opened up his cloth. A person, he will be making some improvements on his pool. And he will be painting or putting on cement on his pool. Average mundane day. You can see a person will be drinking a cup of tea. A person will be making his breakfast. A person will be driving to work. It'll be a normal, mundane day when all of a sudden the trumpet will be blown. And that's it, the end of all. It's not going to be some special day. Normal life, and yet even people will be arguing with each other. And that's it. What is that, the previous nation, Pompeii? Pompeii, right? If you see the preserved bodies of these people. You know, there's some of them are drinking tea, some of them holding onto it, a child, baby, all kinds of things. I don't remember the exact things. But you see how the adab of Allah came and mummified them as they were. Mud came and just took over them, and however they died, but they died in that exact same state, whatever they were doing, like this. Bas khatam. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the day of judgment will come as well. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue on the beautiful descriptions of Jannah, and then of course, Day of Judgment in the next ruku, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.